Now another election story. No matter who you voted for last week, the night that Barack Obama was elected the first African-American president of the United States is a night that most Americans will never forget. Journalists are privileged to have the proverbial front row seat to historic moments like that, but the price of admission is usually the expectation that they will remain above it all, detached, in it but not of it. But journalists are human beings, too, and we wanted to talk more about the special challenge of covering election night for those who share Obama's history and, in some ways, his story. So we've called together a distinguished group of some of this country's most prominent African-American journalists, CNN anchor and special correspondent Soledad O'Brien, NPR News analyst and Fox News commentator Juan Williams, Eugene Robinson, a columnist for The Washington Post and a frequent contributor to MSNBC, and Jim Vance, anchor at NBC4 in Washington, D.C., and the dean, if I may say, of Washington, D.C. anchors. I thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Good to be here, Michelle.
You're all seasoned veterans, and I wanted to say that, you know, there's long been this saying among African-American professionals that you have to be twice as good to get half as far, and I don't know if any of you have felt that way or feel that way, but over the course of the election, I wanted to ask if any of you felt any special pressure, any special scrutiny or responsibility. Did you think your work would receive special scrutiny? Jim Vance, well, let's just go around and ask everyone. Jim Vance?
I don't know if there's any special scrutiny or not, but I certainly did feel a special obligation to try to keep my enthusiasm about Barack Obama's candidacy at bay. My first election was in 1968, and I have never, ever in my life been so personally involved and so emotionally engaged in an election as I was in this one. And so, yeah, there was some work to be done to try to keep that off the airwaves.
Gene Robinson?
You know, I'm lucky among this group. I'm a columnist. I'm an opinion columnist. So I felt I didn't have to work as hard as perhaps everybody else in, you know, going straight down the middle on the one hand, on the other hand. I threw away the other hand when I became an opinion columnist. On the other hand, I'm a journalist, so you want to look at things critically. You want to look at things analytically. And I'll tell you, getting through election night was really tough. Yeah. There were moments. The quarter to 11, I was on the MSNBC set. It was announced internally that we're going to call the election at 11, and I just about lost. The first thing I did was call my mom and dad in South Carolina and kind of talk to them and whisper, he won, and I was like a kid. I was excited.
So, Lynette, what about you?
You know, for me, it's always been really easy to not get emotionally involved in things that I'm actually actively covering. So when you have a job of getting in the latest figures and sort of working this board that may or may not agree with you as far as, you know, launching when you need it to launch, things like that, you kind of have work to do. And so I find that I get much more thoughtful and emotional after the fact. And certainly that's happened in any story I've covered, whether it was Katrina or the tsunami. You know, you sort of later, you kind of think about the impact of the story you've been covering. So during, no, not at all. I mean, I was just really busy sort of watching. I was amazed to see people coming out in Washington, D.C., that spontaneous, and that was amazing to watch. And so the idea of, wow, what's happening there next was really great for me. And it hasn't been, in this election cycle, much of a challenge to keep anything in check, because my theory has always been, if you really are credible and fair on all fronts, then it shouldn't matter. You should be fair to everybody, no matter how you personally feel about an issue. You really should be able to do any interview, be part of any situation, and ask good, solid questions.
Well, sure, of course you should, and people do. I mean, it's like being a doctor. One should be able to operate on anybody, but this is the first time that there's been a person at this level who shared your story, as it were. Didn't push your buttons at all?
Oh, you know, absolutely. I brought my kids in to watch the moment, and I brought a bunch of fourth graders in earlier in the day. So from a historical perspective, absolutely. But during the doing of the job part, not at all.
Ice water in her veins. Oh, all right, Soledad. Juan Williams, what about you? You kind of have a couple of identities. On the one hand, you're a news analyst, so you're expected to evaluate things in a certain sort of detached way. On the other hand, you're also a commentator. You're a commentator on Fox News. You've written some tough opinion pieces for the Wall Street Journal on this issue. How did you see your role in this?
Well, you know, it's very complicated, Michelle, because right from the start, I remember sitting with Senator Obama in his office and talking about this possibility and thinking to myself, you know, he's not of a lot of the older generation of black politicians, but boy, wouldn't it be amazing to see this kind of history made and to see this break in terms of the basis of a black political movement. You know, we've never seen anything like it. And then I remember writing in the New York Times, you know, that people should give serious consideration to the possibility of Barack Obama in the black community, because the black community was all, you know, all the black politicians were lined up with Hillary Clinton's campaign. And then, you know, his campaign staff, you know, lobbying me because of my presence on NPR as a voice and then also at Fox. And then starting to feel like, you know, you got to play ball like an ump, you know. You got to just call it as you see it.
Right.
And then, you know, you start to people, you know, shift with the winds. And I think of it almost like, you know, to play on, to pick up on an August Wilson title, Two Trains Running. You know, because on one hand, what I'm doing is I'm looking at strategy. I'm looking at the mechanics of politics, message, money, the man, the horse race versus the history. And that's when the emotions come flooding in, because the history to me is just so overwhelming. You know, in terms of black history, I've written books about black history and talk about the struggle of black people to have political voice. And to see Barack Obama grow in this way beyond the black community, and to see communities, whites, especially young whites, identify with him as a man in some ways beyond color, but someone who was containing their passions and representing their passions, was overwhelming.
I wanted to ask you about that, Warren, because you were one of the folks who on election night did, for a minute there, let your emotions come through. And I think some people were surprised by that, because you had earlier been sort of described as one who didn't drink the Kool-Aid. As I said, you've, you know, written some tough pieces about Obama, his association with Jeremiah Wright, for example. So can you just describe for me what that was like? I think there's a particular challenge for people when they're going live. I think it's one thing to kind of write a piece later or to go on the air the morning after, but it's a particular thing when you're on the air for hours and you are going minute by minute. So can you just talk to me about what that was like? And I'm going to ask the rest of you this question as well. Juan?
Well, for me, it was like a watershed. I think lots of things have been building up over time. I remember seeing Michelle Obama on stage with the little girls and her mom in the audience, and thinking to myself, oh, my God, can you imagine the first lady, you know, if you think of the Jackie Kennedy image, but now the first lady will be Michelle Obama, and there's her mom and those little girls. And what a positive, loving sight. And I remember feeling really emotional just watching that. But when this moment came, you know, as Gene was describing earlier, for me, it was, you know, they announced it and they went to me and it was like, oh, I'm supposed to explain what this means, this moment in American history on Fox News. And, you know, I realized right then that for me, this was all about the shouting is over. There is something here so special that, you know, my mom, my dad, Gene talked about calling his parents. I understand that 100%, you know. Because, you know, it's like when I voted, I also had that sense of so much history. When I saw the people in Lafayette Square, it reminded me of what happened after emancipation. I just thought there's something bigger than politics at play here. This is something greater than me and my generation, you know, bigger. This is a big story. And I just had the sense of wanting people to understand how much had been overcome in this moment of American history.
Jim Vance?
Juan mentioned the history of it, and I think people who react to the history of it certainly have one set of emotions. But I think there's an experiential thing that's working here, too, and people who experience certain kinds of things have another. I think the joy was universal. I think the rapture might have been age-specific. I have never been so glad in my life not to be on the air. We went off the air to throw it to network when it was about to happen. When the announcement was made, we were going to take it back because of that spontaneous demonstration down on U Street and also on at the White House, which was fascinating, to say the least. And the decision was not to, and I was so glad, because the fact of the matter is I turned my back on my partner for the first time I've ever done that, and I was weeping. It was not an uncontrollable sobbing, but it was I wasn't quite sure that I'd be able to catch it. I can appreciate those who were on the air at the time.
And would you have felt it was bad if you had? Would you have felt wrong?
No. Well, I would wish that I had not, you know, because you always want to be professional. You want to do your job. And, you know,
Can I just ask you, do you feel particularly as a man that you felt?
There was some of that, too. Absolutely some of that, too. But all of that notwithstanding, there it was. And I'm saying I'm glad that I wasn't on the air at the time. One other thing, Eugene mentioned calling his mom and his dad. I wish I had a mom and a dad to call. I really did. And I did send up a prayer to my old man. I said, how you like us now, my man?
I want to hear from the rest of our distinguished panel of journalists, but we need to take a short break. We're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll continue the conversation with Juan Williams, Soledad O'Brien, Jim Vance, and Eugene Robinson. That's next on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Please stay with us. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a tribute to Mama Africa. We remember Miriam Makeba and my commentary. But first, we're going to continue our roundtable conversation with Soledad O'Brien, anchor and special correspondent for CNN, columnist and associate editor for The Washington Post, Eugene Robinson, Juan Williams, news analyst for NPR and Fox News, and Jim Vance, anchor at NBC4 in Washington, the dean of Washington, D.C. anchors. We're talking about covering the election and what it meant as journalists of color. We were talking about election night and the way many journalists of color had to balance their heads, their hearts, and the history that they felt compelled to bring. I want to bring you a short clip from ABC reporter Steve Osunsami on election night, where he was clearly trying to talk about the history. Here it is.
I grew up in a neighborhood that was mostly black, and my father used to tell us that there's no way this country would elect a black president. Well, this evening, the country has proved my old man wrong, and we're the better for it.
Now, Steve Osunsami has been actually mocked by some people for this. I want to play a clip of not just for what he said, not for what he said, but for the emotion that he was conveying. Here's a clip of Fox News host Greg Gutfeld speaking to J. Peter Frere, managing editor of The American Spectator.
J. Peter, if you were that crying reporter's boss, what would you say to him off camera? Good going, congratulations, or that was a bit much?
Well, if I were his boss, I'd probably say something a lot different from what his actual editor probably said, which was that was a television moment. that was a little nugget of you.
What do we think is going on there? Juan, can I ask you this? What do you think was going on here? What is behind that? Do you think that's a fair criticism?
No, I mean, you know what? There's a sense here of, I guess, when that person asking that question, totally out of touch with the reality and the power and the passion of the moment. There is a role for the reporter, and there's a role for the black reporter. You got to pay attention to the details, just the way that there's a role for a black politician like Barack Obama, and he pays attention to details and ran a masterful campaign, let's say, as compared to Hillary Clinton's campaign, which I think was, you know, an evidence of dysfunction and failure. And so, you know, I am separate from Barack Obama. Gene and Soledad and Jim are all separate from Barack Obama. As reporters, we report on what's going on. But to say that you are not allowed to show the human face and to understand that broader historical context, I think that person's short-sighted, maybe even mean-spirited.
Jim Vance, what do you think about this? Because you are not only a presenter yourself, you're also a person who supervises and mentors other journalists. What do you think?
My only comment is I wonder what that guy's comment would be to Walter Cronkite. Would he say the same thing to Walter, who wept big tears on national TV when the moonshot went up? I agree with Juan. It's just plain mean-spiritedness of which there is, I think, too much in abundance. Right.
And the reporter was talking about his life. I mean, he was talking about his father, really. At the end of the day, he was saying, you know, look at what America has become. My father would be wrong. I just thought that was such an amazing moment. And and so real and true and just incredible. And I thought, you know, he wasn't faking it in any way. It wasn't meant to be, you know, cloying in some way for the audience. I thought it was a really genuine, interesting moment, provided some insight into the person who had been covering the story. And I agree. I thought it was incredibly mean-spirited.
So, Linda, what do you think about the, where's the line, though, between talking about oneself and keeping out of the story? Because generally the role of the journalist is to stay out of the story. And yet I found a number of reporters, no matter their background, I thought, you know, Bob Schieffer of talking about, you know, one of the sort of the veterans of this age, one of the big names of this age, talking about what he remembered and the way he grew up, and mentioning that he never shook hands with an African-American until he was a grown man. So, Soledad, what do you think is the line? And do you ever feel, because I know sometimes black reporters feel offended when people want to draw upon their identity in the course of reporting a story.
I think it's mainly in how it's done. So I don't think there's a specific line. But I do think when you're talking about a big historical moment where people's emotions and the bringing in of their history is really critical, I think that's fine. I appreciate it. I'd like to know that about people, because it's not only about Bob Schieffer when he tells you that. He is telling you about white men at that time of his age and his generation. It's not just, oh, let me tell you about me. It's not really about specifically Bob Schieffer. It's about a story about a part of America that people may not know unless he gives you that snippet. I mean, I thought that the story that the reporter was revealing when he was obviously very emotional was not really specifically about him. I mean, and I guess that maybe that's the litmus test. If it's not really about you, but it's to further a bigger point, then it's okay, because those kinds of stories are fine. I think if you're bragging on yourself or boring people with details of your personal life, you know, that's clearly a line.
You know, that was actually a decision that I made on election night when I was on the air. As Juan said, you know, the election gets called and then everybody turns to you as the African-American on the panel to explain this to America. It seemed to me inadequate to try to go big and to try to make some sort of definitive statement about the place of that moment in history. And it seemed something I could get my arms around and get my head around was to go real small and personal. And since that was what I was feeling anyhow, but to go right at it. And so I think one of the things I said, I recall, was that I actually stole this from Chris Rock. But I said that when I tell my sons, you can grow up to be anything, I'm telling the truth now. That really meant something to me.
You wrote a very moving column about Eugene Robinson about this. You felt you, and you said that, you know, when I said the Pledge of Allegiance before, I meant it. When I sang the national anthem, I meant it. But there's something about this that makes me feel very differently about my country. And I'm curious about the fact that there are many people who've this whole question of the dual identity has been a theme of African-American intellectuals and writers and thinkers. But it's been a very tricky piece. As you see, Michelle Obama was criticized harshly for saying that this has made me feel differently about my country. What reaction have you gotten to this piece? Has anybody said, you know, shame on you, Eugene Robinson, you should have felt that way before?
Not really. I haven't heard from anyone on that side of it. I've heard a lot from people who were supportive of that column. And the point of it was saying, I understood what Michelle Obama meant. I understood what Barack Obama meant when he said he felt his faith in the American people was vindicated by the way whites supported him in Iowa. And one reader came up to me the other day, an African-American, and said, reminded me that John McCain had seized on those remarks and had criticized the Obamas and said, my country never had anything to prove to me. And this gentleman who came up to me said, you know, my country did have something to prove to me and proved it. And, you know, he was very emotional about it. And it's complicated, of course, because we all know the history of African-American patriotism, which goes back so long before this was a nation, black people.
Well, in the minute we have left, in the couple minutes we have left, let's talk about what happens next in going forward. There's some speculation that news organizations are going to be looking for more reporters of color to cover the White House.
Yes.
I don't know how people feel about that. So what do you think about that?
Yes. Have you ever seen so many black people on TV, on CNN in your life? Covering this election? I mean, please. It has, you know, what's fascinating to me to realize, just as Oprah was able to launch sort of in a big way, a Barack Obama. Barack Obama is going to launch a lot of other people's careers, literally, because you see the number of pundits we had, people who now they say, oh, we got black people in the White House. We need to have people in who are going to discuss all these issues, as usual, the economy, what's happening with the automakers, what's happening internationally, but also there's this added different element, and we need to make sure that we're talking to a wide audience that is interested. So I actually think we're going to see that when we're already seeing it. I mean, you know, we're covering this now.
Juan, what do you think?
I tell you, I don't see that yet. I mean, I see what Soledad's talking about in terms of they have more black faces and, you know, some of the analysts and people pop up, and I don't think you would have seen those people before. But if you looked at the press conference they had the other day in Chicago, there wasn't a black face among the reporters there asking questions of Obama, Senator Obama, about the economy and, you know, his first press conference. My sense is that there's a backlash here that I think we all have to be very cautious about, that people say, well, no, we want somebody who's a veteran reporter at the White House, and we want veteran people here and there. And then they'll say, you know, we're not accustomed to seeing black people as critics of Obama, that black people are universally supportive of Obama. Well, I remember covering Ronald Reagan when, you know, even among my own colleagues at the Post, the way that I would get aced out of the loop, as they say at the White House, was to say, oh, well, you know, that's the black guy. And I remember being so hurt. I think that now with Obama there, there's the possibility you will get some black reporters. But this, again, is it assumed that they're going to get inside information because they're black? Do viewers, do readers assume that because they're black, they're getting a pro-Obama position? I think you have to retain the idea of black reporters, black journalists, as willing to criticize Obama as any white reporter.
And do you,
and I think that's
do you think
important.
That black reporters are going to feel an extra responsibility to be tough on Obama to prove that they're not in the tank?
Well, you know, that's the kind of thing that blacks, women, gays, everybody goes through. I think Obama's going to be up against that the minute there's any military test. He's going to have to prove he's willing to use military force. That story continues, but I'm just saying for the black reporter, I don't know that automatically that, you know, because Obama's in, we're in. I mean, it's a very separate thing. You know, you watch how this works. It's not the case that, you know, his press secretary is a black man.
I hear you. We have to close it out here. But Jim Vance, our dean, I want to give you the last word here. Do you think it's going
you're
to be
so
an extra challenge?
Consistently reminding people how old I am.
Not a bit. Distinguished. Distinguished.
Thank you, Michelle.
Distinguished. Only
no, I don't distinguished and much love.
Thank you very much. I don't want to be a buzzkiller here, but I am concerned more than whether or not black reporters will have access to the White House and that whole kind of thing. I am really terribly concerned about some brothers I met over in far northeast near Woodson High School 2 days ago who said to me, I don't give a bleep about no Obama. What'd it mean to me? The point being that we need to, you know, celebrate, we need to know joy, share our joy, but God knows we've still got so incredibly amount of work to do because there are millions of us who aren't touched by this yet.
All right. Tough love to close us out. Jim Vance, anchor at NBC4 here in Washington, D.C. We're also joined by Eugene Robinson, op-ed columnist for The Washington Post. They were both kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. We were also joined by Soledad O'Brien. She's an anchor and special correspondent for CNN. She joined us by phone from her office. And our own Juan Williams. He's a senior correspondent for National Public Radio and an analyst for Fox News. And he joined us from member station KUOW in Seattle. Thank you all so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Great to be here, Michelle.
You're welcome, Michelle.